Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's terrifying video, I am bringing you six allegedly true, terrifying, alone at home stories. Now sit back, relax, dim the lights, and let's get spooky. My husband and I had recently bought a home. I thought it was perfect. Our little own piece of the world that no one else could privy to. I couldn't have been more wrong. Well, I think that wraps up the tour. Do you have any more questions for me? Anything at all? I'm an open book. The realtor beamed. I could see straight through her facade, but in all honesty, I didn't mind her fake kindness all that much. If I was making a commission on a home worth 300 grand, I'd be smiling until my cheeks were numb. Nope, I'm all set, Clint said, looking at me for confirmation. I'm all good too. It was a pleasure to meet you, Carla. We'll be in touch, I replied, extending my hand. She eagerly snatched it, pulverizing my fingers in her vice grip. The pleasure is all mine, she insisted, that wide, unwavering grin still plastered on her face. Once she had thoroughly turned my tendons to mush, Carla moved on to her next victim. Clint looked equally as uncomfortable. Here, take my business card. Did I already give you a business card? Huh, forget it. Better safe than sorry, she said, slapping one into each of our outstretched hands. I winced. I still hadn't recovered from her death shake. Okay, I'll see you two later. If you make up your minds, don't hesitate to call me, okay? Doesn't matter what time, either. If you have an Epiphone at 2 a.m, so be it. I can't wait to hear from you. Take care now, Carla shouted, beelining for her car. Clint shot me a knowing glance. Real piece of work right there. I don't think I've ever heard someone rattle off a string of words that quickly in my entire life. And that's really saying something, because I've listened to a lot of Eminem. You're not kidding, I giggled. Think she's on something? Meth? Cocaine? Coke. Definitely coke. A jackrabbit hopped up on Monster would have less energy than her. You got a good point there. Now unlock the car, Mr. Comedian. I need to take a nap. I think we should buy it, I said, resting my back against the headboard. I'm not sold just yet. It's a teensy bit out of our price range, and you have to admit, that vomit green wallpaper in the nursery is hideous. I mean, seriously, who in their right mind would choose that for their newborn? So what if it's a little bit of a fixer-upper? We could repaint that room. No biggie. At least consider it, okay? I really like that house. All right, I'll consider it if... Clint began, a devious grin spreading across his lips. You give me a little sugar. Give you a little sugar? I almost puked in my mouth right there. What are you, 60? But whatever. If it helps my case, I'll do it, she said, planting a kiss on his cheek. Long story short, I got what I wanted. I won't bore you with the details, but we closed on the house relatively quickly. And once we had all our ducks in a row, we prepared to move in. I should have been more careful about what I wished for. Where'd the nose candy queen say she was going to meet us again? Clint asked as we tentatively approached the front door of our new home. I think she said something about giving the house one last inspection to make sure everything's up to par, whatever that means. She said she'd leave the door unlocked for us. Yeah, that's not suspicious at all, Clint said, pushing the door open. Just be nice. This is the last time we'll have to deal with her, I hissed, following my husband across the threshold. Carla? Clint shouted, wandering the empty rooms. Carla, it's Clint and Ava. Where are you? He yelled, his voice reverberating off the walls. Coming, coming. A muffled voice responded, catching me off guard. Suddenly, Carla bursted through a door in the kitchen. She looked winded. Her usual meticulously straightened brown hair was disheveled, and a streak of paint ran down her thin white pencil skirt. If I hadn't known any better, I would have thought that she just lost a wrestling match with an octopus. Carla, are you okay? What are you doing down in the basement? Clint asked, his brow quirked. I'm fine, really. Just dandy. I was, making sure the paint's dry. Would you believe that I was careless enough to leave the door unlocked after our last tour? Well, as lucky as it would have it, a pack of scoundrels came right in. And what did they do? They wrote nasty curses on the walls in the basement. If I find them all... It's okay, I interjected. New paint job. Got it. We'll make sure to stay out of there for a little bit. Do you have the keys? Oh yes, the keys, right here, she said, dropping them into my palm with a small click. The copies of your documents are on the counter, and everything else will be sent to you by mail or electronically. Now, if you'll excuse me, I really must be going. Congratulations, you two. Thanks, Clint muttered as the front door slammed shut behind her. Welp, that was weird. It seems like she was up to something. Want to check the basement? I said, my eyes lighting up like the 4th of July. Ava, we could check it later. I don't want to get high from paint fumes if she actually wasn't bullshitting. Even if she was, you and I both know what she was probably doing down there. She's got a serious problem. Booger sugar this early in the morning? Some people. Yeah, some people. By the time we were done unpacking for the day, I was exhausted enough to fall asleep standing up. Moving is not easy, let me tell you. Needless to say, Carla and the basement had completely slipped my mind. I wish I'd gone down there sooner. The next morning, my curiosity got the better of me. My eyes kept wandering to the door, and eventually, I just couldn't help myself. Don't you think it's weird? Clint asked, taking a sip from his coffee mug. Don't I think what's weird? I blubbered through a mouthful of toast. The basement, Carla, the black paint. I tried to use the move as an excuse to keep my mind off it, but I just can't, he admitted, putting down his newspaper. A smile inched across my lips. So you can't get it off your mind either, huh? Are you thinking what I'm thinking? He sighed, standing from his seat. Yeah, let's get this over with. Come on. Yay, mystery time! I said, bouncing to the basement door. Yeah, woohoo! Clint muttered, pulling the doorknob and flicking on the light. The stairs creaked as we descended. A sickly yellow bulb bathed the room in a dim glow. Carla wasn't kidding about the paint job. The walls were pitch black, lending an eerie ambience to the room. I felt a shiver run down my spine as we reached the bottom step. This is what I'm talking about. Even if Carla was telling the truth, why did they choose to paint the walls black? That's such a strange color selection. I'm with you on that, I mumbled, lost in thought. Without thinking, my legs carried me to the wall on my right. I ran a hand over the surface, half expecting it to be covered with residue when I pulled it away. But it wasn't. I had a gnawing feeling that something wasn't right. I don't want to be down here anymore. It's kind of creepy, I said, returning to Clint's side. That's the understatement of the century. Once we're completely moved in, we are definitely painting over this. Agreed. Now, let's get out of here. I heard it for the first time that afternoon. The ringing, that is. Clint was running to the store to grab some essentials, and I was in the kitchen preparing lunch. That's when I heard a muffled buzzing sound. Bzz, bzz, bzz. What is that? I wondered aloud. My eyes were quickly drawn to that door. I hesitantly crept over to it and pressed my ear against the thin wooden exterior. The sound grew louder. Not by much, but enough to convince me that the basement was its source. I inhaled deeply, mustering all my courage. I knew what I had to do. In one swift motion, I flung open the basement door, flicked on the light, and grabbed a knife from the countertop. I was met with an empty room. The buzzing stopped less the second after I opened the door. I stared down in confusion. I could have sworn what I was hearing was real, but without any proof, I was beginning to question if I had actually heard anything at all. Must be the stress. No point in getting worked up over it. And with that, I tried to push the incident out of my mind. I tried, I really did. But of course, I couldn't. Clint and I spent the remainder of the day unpacking and getting more things moved. We again found ourselves in the kitchen, chowing down on takeout when I decided to broach the subject. So this might be a weird question, but have you heard buzzing lately? I don't know, what kind of buzzing? Clint asked, shoving a forkful of lo mein into his mouth. Vibrating. It's like someone has their phone on silent. I could have swore I heard it coming from the basement earlier. No, not that I know of. Maybe you're just... Bzz, bzz, bzz. Out of the blue, there it was. Dread curled in my stomach. It's happening on cue, as if I had spoken it into existence. Clint met my gaze, his eyes wide as saucers. He slowly rose from his chair and crept over to the basement door. He cautiously turned the knob and, as quietly as he could, Clint opened the door. My breath was caught in my throat, my heart pounding furiously in my chest. I didn't know what was down there, but now I was sure that I wasn't making it up. Clint turned on the light, illuminating the desolate space. Again, we were met with nothing but an empty, poorly lit room. The ringing continued for a few seconds before it stopped, plunging us into a tense silence. "Believe me now?" I squeaked. "Yeah, that was strange. Maybe one of the painters left their phone down here." "Impossible. We searched that whole area. There's nothing down there." "I'll admit, it's definitely creepy, but there has to be a rational explanation. Maybe it's some kind of defect from faulty wiring or something." "I don't know. Best not to worry about it too much. It'll just end up driving us crazy." "Yeah, you're right. I'm sure we'll just forget about it soon enough." Even I wasn't convinced of that, though. I couldn't kid myself. I wasn't the kind to just push things out of my mind. No, I needed answers, and I was dead set on finding them. Of course, I was up all night thinking about it, and because of that, I was awake for much longer than I intended to be. So it came to no surprise when I found Clint waiting for me at the table with breakfast prepared. What was a surprise was his attire. "Morning, Sleeping Beauty," Clint grinned, turning in his seat to face me.
"Morning,"
I yawned, rubbing the sleep from my eyes. "Why are you dressed like that? I thought you took the whole week off." "I decided to go into the office today, remember? I'm almost out of PTO. "Right. It's coming back to me now. Have a great day at work, and thank you for breakfast," I said, sliding out of my chair.
"You're welcome, honey. I love you,"
Clint replied, siding up to me and planting a kiss on my forehead.
"I love you too.
I said as he dropped his plate off in the sink. Don't get into any mischief while I'm gone, okay? Save that for when I get back, he smirked, shooting me a wink as he prepared to leave. No promises, I retorted, returning a warm smile. The moment the door closed, I bolted down to the basement. I desperately needed answers. Little did I know, those answers would lead to the most traumatic experience of my life. I began to inspect the walls. If I was hiding something, where would I do it? I ran my fingers along the jet black surface. I was honestly expecting to find nothing at all, but to my shock, that's not what happened. Once I reached the center wall in direct view of the kitchen, I found it. My heart jumped when my fingertips landed on a divot in the plaster. It continued up and around the back of the other side. The realization finally dawned on me. I had traced the outlet of a door. So that's what Carla was trying to hide? A sinking feeling settled into my stomach. Why had that door been sanded down and painted over? Carla had obviously been hoping we wouldn't find this, but fortunately, she hadn't filled in the gaps in the frame well enough. Big mistake. I began to feel around for where the doorknob used to be, but I found nothing. I sighed. I knew that Clint probably wouldn't approve of what I was about to do next, but I had to know. I sprinted upstairs and into the garage where Clint had been keeping his tools. I rummaged through the assortment of wrenches and screwdrivers before I found what I had been searching for. I triumphantly raised the hammer in my grip and pumped my fist, then returned to the basement. I faced the area where the door had been, mustering up my courage. I had the hammer raised, prepared to strike, but before I did, it started again. Bzz, bzz, bzz. I instinctively leapt back, struggling to maintain my breathing. Come on, Ava. You could do this. I didn't wait for the noise to stop. I swung the hammer against the wooden surface again and again. Whack, whack, whack. I broke through, sending me sprawling forward. I continued to smash away at the flimsy material until I had made a hole big enough to fit through. I turned on my phone flashlight, adrenaline surging through my veins. Nothing could have prepared me for what I would find. I tentatively stepped through the rupture in the door, and my nose was instantly assaulted by a pungent stench. I fumbled for a light switch, finding one on the wall beside me. Once the room was fully lit, I released a deafening shriek. Dozens of bodies were scattered throughout the space. Most of them were cocooned and shrink-wrapped like mummies, their frail skin and bones hidden under a thin veil of plastic. Blood was everywhere. So much blood. Their expressions will haunt me forever. The corpses were in various states of decay, but they all had one thing in common. Their faces were all contorted into permanent, horrified screams. I nearly passed out when I heard the ringing start back up. I hesitantly glanced down to find a cell buzzing on the floor. It was receiving a call. The battery was almost dead, but it was still hanging on. My heart shattered when I read the name on the cracked screen. Mom. I looked to my left and nearly lost my lunch. A man who looked to be in his mid-20s had been chained against the wall. His eyes were missing. Dried blood caked his cheeks. His throat had been slashed. Dark, vicious crimson stuck to his shirt. Out of them all, his body looked the least decomposed. tears began to well in my eyes when I noticed his arm extending towards the phone. It was as if whoever had put him there intentionally placed it inches from his fingertips. He had been so damn close. If only he could have reached it. I couldn't take it anymore. I stumbled backwards, exiting through the opening I'd made. Once the sobs and shivers that racked my body subsided, I called the police. 15 bodies were found in total. I would later find out the cell phone I had discovered had belonged to a 23-year-old man who lived alone. Friends and family had been calling for days to no avail. 4 days. We had been living in that house for a little more than 2. Needless to say, Clint and I didn't stay there. We're back at my parents' house for the time being while we try to get that place off our hands. Though Clint has assured me over and over again that we'll be okay, I still don't feel safe. Because Carla is still out there. Neither the police nor the real estate agency have heard from her since. According to them, our home was her only sale. I still don't know what to do. Whatever happens, I just pray that Clint and I don't end up like the people I found in our basement. I am a 17-year-old boy that lives in a small suburban area. My parents are now on day 4 of their 7-day cruise. I finally convinced them to let me stay home without any supervision. Now I am regretting it. It all started the day before my parents' departure. I kept hearing footsteps above me, even though we lived in a 1-story home. My mom kept trying to convince me that it was just the house creaking, but for some reason, I had this unsettling feeling that there was actually something up there. After hours of convincing, my mom finally agreed to call pest control to come and see if there was any traces of rodents or pests trapped in our attic. The pest control arrived later that afternoon to check the attic. They didn't find anything out of the ordinary, but said that they would bomb the attic as a precautionary. We had to leave the house for an hour, which was fine with me considering it would give me peace of mind. We got back to the house about an hour and a half later to a note on the counter saying that the attic was bombed and that we shouldn't have any more problems in the near future. That night, I slept peacefully. The next morning, my parents left for their cruise, leaving me home alone. Night 1. I was in my room playing video games when I heard the footsteps again. It was brief, but I know what I heard. I convinced myself that maybe it was just whatever rodent up there dying out, and that I should just forget about it. So I did, and the rest of the night was quiet. Night 2. I left the hall light on, closed and locked my bedroom door, and began to try to fall asleep. I have to say it was pretty weird being in the house totally alone, especially because of how quiet our neighborhood is at night. As I was falling asleep, I heard something that made me sit up in my bed. At that moment, as I looked towards the light through the bottom of my door, I saw a shadow pass by. I shot up out of my bed to ensure that I had locked my door. Thankfully, I did. I tiptoed back to my bed and sat there waiting for some sort of sound to emerge. That was when I heard our refrigerator door open and gently close. I knew it was the fridge because my room is right next to the kitchen, and I've heard this noise plenty of times. At this point, I felt helpless. So of course, I called the cops. After 30 minutes of waiting, they finally arrived. They searched the house and found nothing. They said there was no signs of forced entry and that I was probably just on edge since it was my first time staying alone. After they left, I knew something still didn't feel right. I barely slept that night. Night 3. It was about 11 p.m. and I felt exhausted considering I had only gotten a few hours of sleep the previous night. I fell asleep without any problems. I woke up a few hours later with a feeling that I was being watched. I jumped out of my sleep and turned on my table lamp. Everything looked just as it did when I went to bed. I fell back to sleep, but this was with the lamp on. Day 4. The next morning I woke up and got ready for school. As I went to leave my room, I noticed the door was unlocked. Now when I tell you that even though I was exhausted, I know for a fact that I triple checked the lock on my bedroom door before I went to bed. I think someone watched me sleep. When I got home from school that day, there were several police cars on my street, which is rare because, as I mentioned before, I live in a small suburban area. I asked one of my neighbors who was standing outside if she knew what was going on. She said that someone discovered two bodies in the woods behind our neighborhood, she said, and that's when my whole body went numb. That it was two employees from the local pest control company. I am now at my aunt and uncle's, which is about 2 hours away from home. I am not sure what to make of all of this and what happened, but I do know that someone is living in my attic. The apartment was cheap, but not suspiciously so, especially given the relatively decrepit state of it. It was a one-bedroom affair, the building itself constructed at some point before the Great Depression, and it certainly showed its age. The bathroom was prone to mold, the windows let in a draft even when closed, and the fact that it was up 6 flights of stairs in a building where the elevator seemed perpetually out of order certainly didn't help. However, beyond these usual allowances made for an affordable apartment in the city such as mine, there were no outward signs that there was anything wrong with the place. There were never any strange noises, unusual cold spots in the center of rooms, no eerie lights. For all intents and purposes, the apartment appeared utterly mundane. It took me a frankly embarrassing amount of time to notice the door. 7 months, in fact. I've never been much of a night owl, and on the rare occasions when I did have a reason to be up on the wee hours, my time was generally spent in someone else's room. At first, when I noticed the door, I assumed that I was hallucinating. I was, after all, in a fairly inebriated state, having just returned from a rather pleasant evening of laughter and fun. I already had experienced considerable difficulty in removing my key from the apartment's lock, so I figured it was more than likely that something had gone wrong with my perception rather than the unlikely scenario that a wood-paneled door had suddenly materialized in my living room where previously there had only been a wall. It was old-fashioned looking, with a shiny brass knob and wood the color of old leather. I shook my head for a moment and blinked, squinting at the object. The door was still there. I rubbed my eyes and closed them, counting down from 10. When I had finished, I opened my eyes again. The door was still there. I'm not exactly sure what I thought counting down from 10 was supposed to accomplish. Beyond one mercifully brief experience with Salvia at a very bad party, I never experienced hallucinations before, so I was sort of going off of what I had seen in movies and TV shows. There was something intensely unnerving about the door. It emanated a feeling of primal wrongness. I instinctually knew that I was gazing at something totally in violation of the natural order. It took a lot of willpower to do what I did next. Having exhausted all my apparent options to my disorganized mind, I moved on to the next logical stage of inquiry. I tried to open it. The doorknob was cold to the touch, arctic even. It felt like touching the inside of a freezer. A shiver ran down my back, though I can't be sure in retrospect if it was entirely from the temperature. I tried to turn the knob. It didn't budge. An immense sigh of relief escaped my lungs, releasing a breath that I didn't know I was holding in. Trying to think of what else I could do, I pulled out my phone and snapped a quick photo of the thing, sending it to my landlord with a caption somewhere along the lines of, "What the F is this, dude? Why is there a new door?" Nodding sagely to myself, as if I had succeeded in doing anything of note, I stumbled my way into my bedroom and locked the door before falling into a blissful slumber. I awoke to the incessant screeching of my alarm clock loudly informing me that it was 7 o'clock, about 6 hours from when I had fallen asleep. I slammed my fist against the off button and rubbed the sleep from my eyes with the other hand. In following with my usual morning routine, I then pulled out my phone and checked through my notifications. Alongside the usual torrent of internet acquaintances posting pictures of their brunches and whatnot, was a text message from my landlord. "What are you talking about, Christina?" it read. "Is this Photoshop or something?" At first, I didn't understand what he was referring to. But when the rusty gears of my sleep and hungover brain finally started turning, I immediately jumped out of bed and scuttled over to the spot where the door had just been 6 hours prior. I did so with the intent of recording a video to further prove its existence to my skeptical landlord, but I was greeted with nothing but wall. I text my landlord an apology, lying and saying it was just a poorly thought out prank. Then I popped into my car and drove down to the local electronics store to purchase a camera from the grumpy, underpaid college student behind the register. Making my way over to the photography section, I searched a long while for an option that fit my budget and the requirements of my investigation. Eventually, I found just the item. It was a trail cam, the sort of things hunters and stuff use on many acres of land and not enough hobbies to use to observe wildlife. It had an SD card with enough space for several hours of blurry black and white night vision video. And most importantly, it was cheap. I paid for my prize with the Shirley cashier and made my way happily back to my apartment. I set it up securely in front of where the door had previously appeared, and feeling like a genius, went about the rest of my day. I fell asleep that night secure in the knowledge that by morning, I would have proof of what I had seen the night before. The next morning, I rushed over excitedly to my living room, feeling like a child on Christmas morning. My giddy excitement died as I stepped into the living room, noticing the complete lack of the trail cam. Old Saint Nick appeared to have crapped in my stocking. I made my way back to the electronics store, forced once again into interacting with the student behind the register, whom my very existence seemed to be an inconvenience. Upon noticing my arrival, he sighed heavily.
"Can I help you, ma'am?"
he said, emphasizing the last word with the same inflection one might be saying intestinal parasite. "I'm looking for a cheap camera that will stream video directly to my computer," I said, trying my best not to avoid mimicking the man's tone. Shrugging his shoulders and releasing another drawn-out sigh, the cashier shuffled his way over to the photography section and picked out a small camera rather similar to the last one I purchased, but approximately twice as much in terms of cost. "Do you have anything cheaper?" I asked, trying my best to sound polite.
"No,"
declared the cashier, with all the compassion of an exterminator crushing a cockroach beneath the steel-toed boot. I ended up paying the crazy price on my already abused credit card and grumpily stalked back to my apartment to set up the new equipment. No, I wouldn't get to see it after the night was over. Nevertheless, I had to know how the door got there, and I needed to have the evidence. The process to set up the new camera was a bit more involved than the last. There was all matter of fiddling about with connecting the device to my Wi-Fi network and installing some new software to my computer. But by the time it was over with, successfully uploading footage directly to my hard drive where I could watch it at my leisure. I went to bed that night wondering what I would do with the footage after I acquired it. After all, I couldn't really go to the police with it, could I? "Excuse me, officer," I imagined myself saying. "But a mysterious door appears in my apartment at night, and I was wondering if you could send someone out to take a look at it?" I'd end up institutionalized. Similarly, it's not like I could go to the newspaper either. I lived in a big city, and the reporters have more important fish to fry than transient doors. At some point, while I pondered my options, I must have fallen asleep, because the next thing I knew, I was waking up to the banshee cries of my alarm clock, angrily informing me that it was once again 7 o'clock. I jumped out of bed, excited, moving over to my computer to check the footage, finding that there was about 5 hours of video. I turned on the camera at around 10 o'clock p.m., so that meant whatever happened to the camera occurred at about 3 a.m. I set the video to fast forward and watched it carefully. The first 2 hours or so showed nothing, just the regular blank wall. At exactly 12 o'clock, however, static engulfed the screen, and suddenly the old wooden door simply appeared, as if it had always been there. I rewound the footage and played it at a normal speed, trying to discern anything that would show how the door suddenly manifested into the wall of my apartment. But the static was far too heavy to tell. The video simply got incredibly distorted for about 10 seconds, and suddenly the static dissipated and there was the door. Even on video, just looking at it gave me the chills. The sense of complete and utter wrongness came through even the screen. I shivered slightly and set the video on fast forward yet again. There was no change in the door for nearly 3 hours. But as the video crept closer and closer to the end, I switched it back to normal speed with about a minute to spare. As I watched, the door began to slowly open. There was no microphone built into the camera, but I could only imagine the ancient hinges creaking. I could feel my palms beginning to sweat as I stared, transfixed. I glanced at the time remaining on the video. It was only around 30 seconds. As the video progressed onwards, the door eventually swung fully open, revealing a black, yawning void beyond it. Static began to gather at the corners of the screen, increasing in intensity as I vaguely discerned something moving in the darkness. The quality was rapidly decreasing, and I couldn't tell any specifics, but it moved in an almost spider-like manner, skittery and deeply unnerving. It seemed to just about come into view when the footage fully dissolved into static, and the video ended abruptly. I leaned back in my chair, contemplating my next move. While the video had certainly convinced me that I wasn't going crazy, I knew that it wouldn't exactly convince the average person. I could easily have added in the static with the editing, and the vague movements behind the door could just be computer-generated effects or some sort of puppet. After a few minutes of pondering, I came up with an idea.
"I'm sorry, what?" exclaimed Lilith, who was trying hard not to choke on her iced coffee.
"A door. It appears in my apartment at exactly midnight. I have it on video," I replied, sliding my phone across the table of the coffee shop. I first met her in college. We had shared a course on history of Gothic literature.
She was a perfect picture of the stereotypical goth, with pierced spectrum, dyed black hair, pentacle earrings, and a wardrobe whose diversity of color could charitably be compared to that of a raven. We hadn't spoken in a long time, but I figured if there was anyone I should contact about this sort of thing, it would be her. I'd condensed the 5 hours of film down to a few minutes with the help of a free online video editor, and watched in slight amusement as her brow furrowed, her eyes glued to the screen. After the video ended, she seemed utterly amazed. "Any thoughts?" I asked, pulling back my phone. "This is some sort of joke, right? You're messing with me," she asked, utterly bewildered by what I had just shown her. "No joke. Not screwing around. I figured you'd be the one to ask about this because of the whole, you know," I said, gesturing at the Leviathan cross on her black t-shirt. She rolled her eyes at me and fidgeted nervously with one of her bracelets. "I'm not sure, Christina. This seems a little bit outside of my pay grade. I really don't know what you expect me to do. I just need a witness of some kind. What I've got here isn't really enough to prove anyone on its own, but if someone else sees it, that might lend me a little bit of credibility. If some random chick goes to the news complaining about a mysterious door appearing in her living room at midnight, that's nothing. But if I get a witness, then they might have to listen to me. Plus, I figured maybe you could, I don't know, set up a form of protective circle or sigil or something." As soon as the last words left my lips, I felt like a moron, but she actually seemed to perk up a little bit. "I mean, I guess that makes sense. How about tonight? I could come over at about 11 o'clock so we have a little bit of time to get ready," she said, a ting of excitement in her voice. "Sounds like a plan. I'll text you my address. I really appreciate you doing this for me." We got up from the booth, gave each other hugs, and went our separate ways. I was skeptical about how much good her magical expertise would do with regarding this unearthly door, but I had mainly mentioned it to get her interested. I wish I hadn't. About 12 hours later, I heard a knock at my door, my front door in this case, not the impossible one. I peeked through the peephole and saw that it was her, and I ushered her inside. She had brought with her a black leather bag, bulging with various books, candles, jars, and other occult accessories. "That's a lot of stuff," I commented, gesturing towards the bag. "Are you sure you're going to need all of it?" She shrugged. "I figured it's better to be safe than sorry. I'd rather be overprepared than come up short." "Seems reasonable." I showed her the spot in the blank wall where the door appears, and she began setting up candles and incense, drawing strange signs with chalk and pouring salt in a semicircle in front of where the door would be. As she worked, she occasionally read out loud from some cheap paperbacks with titles like The Witch's Bible and The Unquiet Dead, a field guide to the afterlife. To be entirely honest, it was incredibly underwhelming. I didn't feel any mystical energies or unseen vistas of space and time yawning before me. There was just a goth screwing around with some candles while reciting mangled Latin out of the books that she got for $5 a piece at a charity shop. Nevertheless, I let Lilith get on with her business and sat back drinking some cheap beer. After about 45 minutes, she seemed satisfied. The floor and walls were covered with crude sigils done in white chalk, and the whole room smelt of incense and scented candles. I checked my watch, seeing it was 11:48. I offered her a drink, but she declined, instead just taking a seat and messing a bit with her jewelry. We talked for a while about what the door could be, where it came from, that sort of thing. She seemed convinced it must be a restless spirit of a former tenant, but I was a bit skeptical. While at this point I could no longer honestly say I didn't believe in the supernatural, this didn't necessarily strike me as some sort of haunting. "I don't think it's a ghost," I said, taking a sip from my near-empty can. It strikes me as something further beyond our realm of experience than that. Something, I don't know, alien somehow. I mean, it changes reality itself, doesn't it? It transmutes a wall to a door. And let me tell you, that door was real wood and the knob was real metal. Aren't spirits supposed to be intangible or something? She seemed like she was about to say something before she paused, a weird look crossing her face. "Christina, what time is it?" she whispered. I checked my watch. The digital face read out 12:07. I turned to see the door. It had been there for 7 minutes and hadn't even noticed its arrival. Something about us not having realized it was there bothered me more than its arrival. Was it possible that I had passed by it in the apartment before and just never noticed it? I had previously assumed that I had simply always been asleep or out of my apartment when it materialized, but now I wasn't so sure. Lilith turned to look at it too, after a moment saying, "It's like it's always been there." The next 3 hours passed slowly, painfully. We snapped plenty of pictures of the door at every conceivable angle on our respective phones, videos too, and decided that after it disappeared again, we should take footage of the bare wall for contrast. Lilith and I chatted a bit, but it was hard to continue conversations for long. Now that we had noticed it, we could feel the wrongness emanating out of the door, as if we were being watched by something just out of sight. I don't know if there is such a thing as true evil, some sort of absolute moral right and wrong on a spiritual level. But being near that door, I felt like I was bearing witness to an atrocity against reality itself. We spent the last 2 hours of observation in nearly complete silence. It seemed like the longer we watched the door, the worse the feeling of discomfort got. If you've ever been on a roller coaster, you'll be familiar with the feeling of going up the track towards a long drop, the tension in your very blood as you brace yourself for the fall to come. As we sat there, I felt something similar. I almost wanted to call the whole thing off. Just have her and I go to a 24-hour fast food place or something and call it a night. But I had to know. Unlike with the door's appearance, we noticed when it started to open. We sat there, paralyzed with fear and excitement as it slowly started to creep open, the worn hinges squealing just as I thought they would. The room grew significantly colder until we were both shivering intensely. Behind the door was void, absolute void. It was black as the depths of the ocean and emanated pure dread. The smell of incense and scented candles seemed to dissipate, replaced with a vague stench like rotting seaweed. Finally, the entrance was swung fully open, and we sat there staring blankly into it. We didn't even try to pull out our phones to record what we saw. The thought to do so didn't cross my mind until well after. I could see something start to move in the darkness beyond, some sort of motion. Spidery, skittering. It was coming towards us. I caught a vague glimpse of a long, thin limb reaching out from the door, coming towards us, grasping blindly from out of the dark. And then I felt the sun shining on my face, my entire body sore. I opened my eyes to find myself lying on the ground outside. There were trees overhead, but the foliage wasn't dense enough to block out the light which had awoken me. All things being equal, I would have preferred my alarm clock. I stood up painfully, taking stock of my surroundings. I was in a park, one which I'd been to before, located a couple of miles from my apartment. I looked for my phone, but couldn't find it. I began to stumble my way back home, trying my best to ignore my aching muscles. I called out for Lilith a couple of times, but was met with only silence. She was gone. As I limped my way along,
a passing jogger called out, "Nice tattoo." Confused, I looked down at my arm. Burned into my flesh in white letters, as if through frostbite, were the words, "Bring more." This has been going on for a few weeks, and I'm getting nervous that it is escalating. To give some context, I live in a garden apartment. All the windows are at ground level with the outside. There's one in the kitchen that looks out into my neighbor's driveway, one in my roommate's, two in my bedroom, etc. And the only thing level with the street is the door into the apartment, which has windows on it. Super standard. The only thing that's a bit out of the ordinary is that I have an excessive amount of locks and bars over the windows due to an attempted break-in while I was home alone one night. Anyways, over the past few days, I've been noticing something moving around in my apartment. And I don't mean items becoming misplaced or threads of clothing swaying. I mean that I've seen something looming and tall out of the corner of my eye. Just out of direct vision, peek around corners, or move across the hallway when I'm focusing on something else. By the time I look up or go to investigate, there's nothing there. At first, this scared the absolute crap out of me. I just kept getting goosebumps and surges of adrenaline when this thing would appear just out of sight. Hunched over in the hallway, peeking out at me from open doorways, lurking in my windows. Eventually, however, I managed to convince myself that what I was really seeing was a stray corner of my hair or bangs, maybe shadows. And I've also been on a scary movie kick recently, so I guess that, worst case scenario, I was experiencing a random side effect or paranoia or anxiety. I do have a history with anxiety, and this sort of stuff can happen to me when I don't get enough sleep or get too stressed out. It wasn't until earlier tonight that I even seriously crossed my mind that something real may be occurring on the premises of my apartment. I was sitting on my couch in the foyer, front door area of a very small apartment, when I saw the thing out of the corner of my eye again. And the damn motion sensor light went off. I admittedly freaked out a bit and I froze. I slowly went back to my homework assignment. I'm a grad student. Not sure if that's important. Writing the incident off as a coincidence due to sheer nerves, and it frickin' happened again. Too tall to stand straight, hunched, black blur in the peripheral of my vision. Frickin' motion detector bulb lighting up the outside and inside of my apartment through the window of my door. Whatever it is I'm seeing, I'm becoming nervous that it's not just my imagination or overactive mind. I waited until the light had been off for a while before I moved an inch from my spot on the couch, and I immediately scurried into my bedroom to cool off and try to figure out what to do. If I call them, my parents won't believe me, and my roommates won't be back until next week. I'm all alone here. About an hour ago, I left my bedroom and went to brush my teeth. Silly, I know, but I just can't stand having bad breath. But when I left the bathroom, I could see from the hallway that the motion detector light was on again. I, out of pure fear and instinct, immediately ducked back into the bathroom, cold sweat prickling on my legs and beads rolling from my armpits down my arms. I stayed in there, stomach roiling with fear and anxiety for well over an hour, pressing my feverish and panicked face onto the cold tile for some way to ground myself, a grasp of calming down. As far as I could see, when I peeked out, the light never turned off. It didn't even flicker. I'm not sure what I'm scared of more, the fact that I know it's outside, or the fact that when the light turns off, I will have no idea where it is. It's peeking at me through the gap in the blinds. Oh my God. Oh my God. I really hate to disturb her at this hour, but I think I need to call my roommate, my parents,
anyone. I didn't even call the emergency line when someone tried to get into my apartment. I don't think I have the nerve to call them now. Wait. Oh no. I left my phone in my bedroom. I'm going to have to get there first. I crept down the hallway, painfully alert, fearful of the sound the refrigerator makes and the clanking of the heater. With every step, the tile floor feels shockingly cold, but my body is nauseatingly hot. Click. I'm halfway down the hallway. The light outside just went off. The problem of falling asleep has always bothered me for as long as I could remember. In my younger years, I had a few sleep studies and was prescribed a variety of sleeping aids. Herbal teas were even suggested by my therapist and doctors. My sleep issues didn't let up until last Christmas, when one of my more distant relatives brought me a white noise machine. The machine had a nice sleek design and simpler controls than what I'm used to with my previous machines. When everyone had gone home from dinner, I brought everything I got to my home and began unpacking it all. Even though there wasn't much, I was happy with what I got. Even if most of the gift cards were sweaters or bright socks, I was glad to see family again. The noise machine was the last thing I unpacked. On this wooden fold-up table I'd been using as a nightstand, the machine was set up next to my stock of essential oils for the diffuser, which I also used for sleep. As I said, the machine's controls were simple. On and off buttons, volume button, auto shut off time, and what noise to play. It had buttons labeled rain, thunder, brook, ocean, white noise, and summer night. I turned it on by pressing the top power button and started playing summer night noise. It started playing what sounded like crickets, light wind, and the frequent distant chirp of frogs. As I listened to this noise, it brought back memories of camping trips with my grandpa, who passed away just a few months before Christmas. In the coming weeks, this would be the sound I played when I went to bed. After a couple special gummies, a hot herbal tea, and the diffuser running, the noise machine worked better than I expected. Finally, I fell asleep faster than I had in the past. I woke up on time and got into a much healthier sleep routine. It was about 2 or 3 weeks ago when all this changed for the worst. In the afternoon, I played video games and read books from the library before going to bed. I ate my gummies and drank my hot herbal tea. I turned on the noise machine and rested down in bed. I closed my eyes for what felt like minutes until I opened them again. Using my eyes to scan the room, I could tell time had passed because my room was much darker, only faintly illuminated by the diffuser's color-changing light. This night, something woke me up. Because of my sleep problems, I often wake up suddenly in the middle of the night, but not once since I started using the noise machine. As I scanned the room, nothing seemed amiss. But just as I was about to close my eyes again, I heard a noise. It sounded like whispering, very faint but close enough to hear. Although it sounded like a discussion, I couldn't understand what was being said. As I tried to ignore it and just go back to sleep, I could feel goosebumps on my arm and I felt very uneasy. In an attempt to ignore the whispers as they continued, I closed my eyes again, but was suddenly jolted awake by the sound like people screaming. I heard both men and women screaming, followed by scraping and what sounded like an inhuman screech or roar. Immediately I sat up, grabbed my noise machine, ripped it from its plug. My heart beating out of my chest and my heavy breathing were the only sounds in the room now. Sitting there holding the machine in my hands, I contemplated and thought about what I had just heard before I set it down. I sat staring at the wall for hours after I calmed myself down, and tried to keep my head straight, wondering if what I had heard was a dream. In the morning, still shaken, I came to my mom, who had just gotten out of bed, and told her what happened. She said that what happened must have been a result of a really bad nightmare and told me that she'll have my dad look at it when he gets back from work. I spent the whole day trying to brush off what happened, but the sounds just kept repeating in my mind over and over again. I couldn't read or play games in peace. That night, my dad turned on the machine and it played its normal sounds: crickets, light wind, and the chirping of frogs. We waited to listen for a long while and nothing happened. Despite my dad's insistence that it was fine, I argued with him about how I didn't want to use it at all after last night. He was frustrated but still gave me the machine. I decided to look into the machine myself and brought up a webpage engraved at the bottom of the machine. After viewing the website of the company that manufactures the machines, I discovered that instead of using pre-recorded sounds on loop, the machine connects to live stream sources from their own website for a more authentic and realistic experience. When I learned this, I became even more uneasy, because if what I heard was true, I had heard something that took place that night in real time. I wrapped the power cord around the machine and stuffed it into one of my closets. I've since moved from the house, and sadly many of my belongings were lost along the way, including the noise machine. It was a rough time for me at the time, but I worked it out and eventually learned how to fix my sleep problems without using sleep aids. My mind always goes back to that night, and I have only told my parents and closest friends about it. As far as the relatives that gave me the noise machine know, they still think I have the machine. I don't plan on telling them about this, nor do I plan on bringing another noise machine into the house. I often have nightmares about that night alone, picturing the room it happened in and me laying in the bed, hearing the screams over and over again, and this time, they wouldn't stop. I would lie there listening to it on repeat without unplugging or turning it off. For when I suddenly sit up in bed, would it stop? And I'd get up and go to work. The house gets weird when it's just me and him. There's a family emergency, so my mom is staying in the hospital and my grandmother is visiting her. We take turns taking care of him. He has dementia. My old man is not much company, other than the rare lucid moment where we could have a normal conversation. Otherwise, he just babbles on and on about nothing in particular. He also wanders aimlessly throughout the house, humming tunelessly to himself. Of course, we have a dog, a 9-year-old lab mix, but he spends most days sleeping. It's often so quiet here that even the sound of a pin drop can be heard like a gunshot. So when I hear moving around or something talking, it's enough to make me stop what I'm doing and listen. Pop tends not to move around a lot, since he's preoccupied solving puzzles on his laptop in the room upstairs. That, and we live next to a busy street near a large college, so there could be a lot of noise outside, depending on the time of day. However, 5 out of 10 times when I do hear a move, I can hear someone else moving around in another part of the house, or following alongside behind him, dragging feet, or the thudding of heavy boots, the light brushing of soft slippers. Sometimes it's the soft padding of a child's bare feet. Like I said, I've never been bothered by it much. I like to think of myself as a logical person. Everything has an explanation. I've always written it off as outside noises. But I've never been alone with this old man late at night. It's nighttime when I'm writing this, and it's 12:15. Shortly before this, I was playing Rust in the living room, and my grandmother hasn't come home from the hospital yet. I paused my game to listen. The sounds of bumping and dragging can be heard upstairs, but only when I'm busy playing my game. so it's hard to figure out if it's just the game or something else. The urgent need to check on Grandpa hits my consciousness like a truck running over a pothole on a highway. What if he got up and fell? What if all that moving around was him trying to get up? All these horrible thoughts raced through my mind while I hurried upstairs. I swear the floorboards creaked and cracked loudly under each hurried step. The bedroom door to his bedroom was cracked open, and I could have sworn I shut it. He should be asleep, but I could hear movement inside. I stop at the top two steps when I hear a woman sigh. Nana wasn't home yet. I opened the door slowly, and the nearby bathroom light shined in, illuminating the dark room with warm light. I glanced from the dresser at the far end of the room to see my reflection in the mirror that sat on it. Craning my head through the crack, I look right at the bed and see his dark shape laying there. I wait until I see his chest rise and fall. He was fast asleep. What if he fell and got up? Hey, I hissed at a low whisper. Nothing. Did I just hear the wooden floorboards creak at the far end of the room? I look, but there's nothing there. Chuckling to myself for being so stupid, I closed the door. But as I did, something happens that sets all the hairs on my neck standing on end.
Please help me.
A little girl's voice called from the darkness in the far end of the room. Damn me. There was no one there. So why is it I heard a little girl? I didn't open the door to check. Instead, I rushed downstairs and fixed myself a pot of coffee and grabbed a smoke. I'm in my garage now, drinking my third cup of coffee. It's nearly midnight, and I can't sleep.